Group health insurance, basic principles. First of all, if you think about group health insurance, one of the first things you have to remember is you cannot get a group of people together just because you want to take out insurance. Say, hey, we're a group. Now we're going to get group insurance. Can't do it. It's against the law. There is something called a master policy when you take out a group health policy. The policy is actually between usually the employer or whatever group, you know, is sponsoring the people and the insurance company, and there's that master policy. And then each individual who is covered in that group gets what is called a certificate of insurance. It's usually a one-page document, kind of recaps. It says who's the insured, what's the amount of benefit, if there's beneficiaries, the date of the coverage, things like that. It's just a one-page kind of synopsis of what the coverage is for the person. It follows group underwriting rules. Group is always going to have a lower premium cost than individual coverage because they can spread the risk out over that larger group of people, that law of large numbers. They like that a lot. There's two different ways that people can contribute in a plan like this. There's a contributory plan and there is a non-contributory. Non-contributory, for example, means that the employer is going to cover 100% of all of the employees. That is called non-contributory, and 100% have to be covered. Now, if the employees are going to share in the cost of premium, then it's called a contributory plan. And with a contributory plan, at least 75% of all eligible employees have to take the coverage. What do they mean by eligible? Easiest one to remember, usually one of the biggest dividing factors on who can be covered and not is, are you a full-time employee instead of a part-time employee? A lot of times part-timers are not offered this kind of benefit. So for eligible, you would have to, for example, be a full-time employee. And then if so, 75% of those employees must take the plan and you're going to share in the premium costs. What are the types of eligible groups who could take advantage? Employer-sponsored plans, like we think of as benefits at work, is probably the biggest group or the largest types of plans out there. Very, very popular. They're a wonderful benefit for employees. And a lot of times employers will offer these plans as a way of retaining good people in the business. Then you have something called a MET, which is a multiple employer trust, or an MEWA, a similar type of group. These kinds of groups, they're trusts that are formed to get insurance, to acquire insurance. But the thing to remember, on a MET, for example, they have to be in the same industry. For example, maybe you've got a couple of three or four or five small little printing companies, and they form a MET in order to get benefits for all the people in those particular companies that join together. So they have to be in the same line of business. So remember that. And then you also can sometimes get group benefits through creditor groups as well. Group health insurance underwriting. Let's take a look at underwriting for a while. First of all, what is the purpose of the group? They have to have another reason to exist other than just being a group who got together because they want to try to get insurance benefits. Remember, they cannot form a group solely for the purpose of trying to get coverage. The size of the group, usually you have to maintain certain participation levels in order to keep the group coverage. So that's something that has to be monitored every year typically. Also, they want to watch the flow or the turnover of the group, the new employees who come in maybe and who are maybe younger and, you know, maybe more healthy than some of the older employees. So you want to always make sure that there's a good balance if you can. They must be non-discriminatory, meaning automatic determination of benefits. Everybody gets the same benefits. Just because I maybe have a history of some health issues, if I'm in the group, it doesn't make any difference, because the theory is there's going to be enough people who are maybe younger or at least healthier than I am, and the healthy kind of offsets some of the few that might have some minor or even major health concerns. It all kind of evens it out. The premium determination has a lot to do typically with any insurance. Your age and gender, very important. Your occupation of the entire group is going to be considered a factor as well, because some occupations are more dangerous than others, which could cause a higher premium, right? And then there are the certificates of insurance. This insurance is guaranteed. It is not individual underwriting. They underwrite the entire group, so you can have some people who are very ill and have some people who are very healthy, and you're going to get that nice kind of middle of the road premium. It's going to be always a lower premium than if you tried to get insurance coverage individually. Coordination of benefits provision. This is usually only found on group health plans. The purpose is to avoid duplication of benefits when an insured might be covered by more than one policy. It enforces the principle of indemnity, meaning you can't make money by filing multiple claims. Okay, so you have a loss that occurs, and you, the insured, submit a claim to the insurance company. One of your insurance companies, let's say you're covered by a couple plans, one of them is going to be considered your primary coverage. That's going to provide the full benefits as specified by your policy. Then if you have another policy, that's going to be referred to as the secondary policy or the secondary coverage that you have. Anything that the main policy didn't cover, then you'd go to that secondary policy to pick up any of those things that might not have been covered, and there might also be some different benefits that might be payable under that secondary policy. But overall, you're never going to be made more than whole, or you would be going against the principle of indemnity. The total amount paid cannot be more than costs incurred or total benefits available under all of the plans together. Again, principle of indemnity. Continuation of health coverage. Let's talk about COBRA. There's a few misconceptions about COBRA. People always say it's very, very expensive. In actuality, it's not, and let me explain that to you. First of all, COBRA is the continuation of your group health coverage. Even though you've left the company, they still keep you in the group as if you're still there as an employee. It's just that you're not, but you're going to keep your benefits. The employee can apply within 60 days of termination to take advantage of the COBRA benefits. The coverage is usually good for 18 months, but it could be up to 36 months for dependents after an employee's death or divorce. So they extend the period of coverage longer in those specific circumstances. The employee actually pays 102% of the premium. That's all. That's more, just that 2%. But remember, the reason why people think that it's a much more costly item is you're used to seeing only what you as the employee paid on the premium. Don't forget, the employer generally is paying a higher premium amount on your behalf. So you're actually paying the premium you were paying on your own. You are also paying what the employer was paying to cover you. So that's why it seems so costly. But they only charge you about a 2% kind of a fee in order to keep you in the plan, even though you are not an employee. So that's the true way that COBRA works. You still have all the benefits of that plan if you choose to use all those benefits. Now, there are some disqualifying events. If, of course, you don't pay the premium, you're going to lose the coverage, just like any insurance. If you have coverage under another group plan, then you don't need to invoke the COBRA benefits. If you're eligible for Medicare, you would not use COBRA in that case. If the employer terminates all group health plans, there's nothing left anymore, then of course you would lose the coverage with everybody else. There's no plans to take advantage of. And then also, if you are terminated for misconduct, COBRA benefits would not be offered to you. This is only for people who are terminated without cause.